Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Handy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and T. Quiller, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Welcome to episode 165 of
The Inexplicable Dumb Show.
I'm T. Quillen.
I'm John Malden.
So, John, what are we doing today?
Well, we're talking to Keith Cromwell of Red Mountain Theater Company.
Are we really?
Yeah. Seems like just yesterday.
It does seem just like yesterday, but it has been a while.
Yeah.
So, it seems like they got a pretty exciting season.
Yeah. They're paying the rent.
Very good.
I'm telling you.
All right, let's just get into it.
Okay.
Want to stay current with The Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free!
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
So Keith Cromwell is on the line. You remember Keith?
Oh, yeah.
From Red Mountain Theater Company?
It seems like we just talked to him yesterday.
Well, it does, doesn't it? Keith, how are you?
I am fantastic. It was great to hear you guys wanted to hear from me again. I am fortunate to be so desirous.
Well, I mean, it's you guys are always doing some exciting and neat stuff down there. So tell us this. You got a show that's currently running. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it scared the heck out of me. We opened Rent on October 1st, and it's in our, you know, real sassy, funky, intimate little cabaret space. And, you know, that show already is rather in your face, even though I think it's kind of worn off over the years, if you will. Its subject matter is a little bit more tame given today's culture. But I was nervous. You know, we're in the Bible Belt, and, you know, this show's got some edgy things in it, but it is just being eaten up, just totally sold out, and just fortunately beautiful cast and greatly received. So awesome.
Excellent. And while we're on the subject, when does it close and how can people get tickets just while we're on it?
I love it when you ask those kind of questions. It runs till October 18th, and you can easily have a conversation with one of our ever so delightful and, may I say, attractive ticket people. 324-2424. That's area code 205-324-2424. Or always available online at www.redmountaintheater.org. We spell theater with an R-E at the end.
Cool.
T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
Awesome. Now, that's just the first show in your season.
Yes, it is.
What else are you guys doing?
They're the rare theater company that has only one show.
Our season lasts all year long. It's one show.
You practice these leading statements, or do you have like a bullet?
No, I've got a cheat sheet in front of me.
He's rehearsed it.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's a classically trained actor. Right. So there's no improv.
Thank God. If he ever gets stuck, we just shove him.
Wait, now, guys, don't get me off script here. Can we answer the question, please?
I'm sorry. Coming up next, yes, sir. Next, we have a junior production, which is always, you know, I love the dichotomy of our scheduling. We have Rent, which is pushing the boundaries. And then, of course, right after that, we have Schoolhouse Rock Live, which is a junior production with about 60 kids. So it'll be really fun for their parents and that audience. And then we have our usual kind of, I call it a kitchen sink Christmas celebration, our holiday show, which is called Merry Memories, and that has a cast of about 100 in it, and it's just really magnificent to, you know, witness all of that craziness.
Nice intimate show.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, there's, you know, if you think about it, if we sell 50% of the 220 seats we have almost the same number of audience as we do cast. So, fortunately, we fill it up.
Wow. You know, the Ben Hur of Christmas stories.
That's right. On a rough night, we might make these. January, I'm really excited because every year, I'm a member of an organization called the National Alliance of Musical Theater, and they support a new works conference. And I was on the reading committee and the selection committee for a few years, but we are bringing a new work in called Barnstormer, which is written by Douglas Cohen and Cheryl Davis, and it's really awesome. It's kind of jazz and blues influenced score, and it's, really interesting inspection of the story of Bessie Coleman, who was the first African-American aviatrix. So really kind of a cool new thing for us.
That is cool.
Yep. And then we've got my buddy Jason Robert Brown's show 13. We have the regional premiere of that in April. And I'm not sure if we're quite finalized on the details yet, but I'm hoping that he's going to be able to be in town. And perhaps one of the writers, Dan Elish, is going to try to be here also. So that would be cool.
Awesome.
And we've got the 60s rock and roll incredible musical called Shout, which is five girls screaming and lamenting those awesome tunes from the 60s. And then to round things out, we've got Sound of Music at the end of the season. So we've kind of got a family classic tale at the end of our year.
Yeah. Wow. So you have to really be careful though with marketing. Cause I mean, especially with like your first two shows, you don't want to get the marketing mixed up between Schoolhouse Rock Junior and Rent. I mean, that could cause some letters to the editor, you know?
Yes, exactly.
No, it seems like you've put together a really interesting season in that you've mixed up, the eclectic with the, what's the word I'm looking for? The traditional, if that's the right way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I think every theater tries to aspire to have something for everyone, and yet we have to have a consistency for a theatrical consumer, you know? And I think wanting to see some new work and maybe see some things done with our twist and yet have some classics, it's always kind of that balance. And I'm really, really happy right now. Rent was probably what had me the most nervous. We've become kind of accustomed to having a sort of a blockbuster opener, and thank goodness it's serving to be that for us. Though,
Now going into your quote unquote children's shows and your Christmas extravaganza spectacular. Now you guys have a solid kind of arts education outreach as well, right? And does your program feed into? I mean, do the children progress through your classes into opportunities to audition for these shows?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, exactly. It's sort of a feeding system. It's a real good grassroots kind of program. We have about 350 kids that take our summer workshop.
Wow.
And while they're in our summer intensive, they have the opportunity to audition to be in our fall junior production, which is Schoolhouse Rock. And then they also have the opportunity to audition to be in one of our three youth program groups, which are sort of like a conservatory program here. And we take about 26 to 30 kids in three different age brackets, and we spend a year with them training them. And they were just in a really intense choreography retreat this past weekend with, you know, Broadway choreographers that are just, you know, totally blown away. I love bringing friends in from New York that are like, I can't believe you have this happening in Birmingham, Alabama, and these kids are unbelievable, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, honestly, it goes back to one of the things that we talked about a couple of weeks ago with Jacob Coakley with Stage Directions, is that there's so much good theater, not just theater productions, but theater training and theater, everything else theater related, everywhere else. But New York, there's so much else going on, and it's sort of overlooked. And it's great that you guys are bringing attention to that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's, you know, like I was talking with the writers of Barnstormer, this new show we're bringing in, and it's such a great environment to bring it in. We've got a built-in audience. They want to be enthusiastic. They don't want to go and throw tomatoes. They want to like it. and yet they're also a pretty savvy, worthwhile of surveying audience to say, what do you think? You know, what do we need to do? And so to have a safe haven kind of under the radar to work on new pieces of work new pieces of theater that could make it into the more traditional canon of theater. It's exciting.
Yeah. Now you talk about your built-in audience. Let's ask about the pink elephant in the room. Has the economy affected you at all, or has it affected any decisions that you've made in terms of your season, or have you noticed any trends there? I mean, how are you guys weathering the storm?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I'd be an idiot if I said I didn't plan on it affecting my business. I mean, clearly it's affecting everything and everybody in every place. But the curious thing is that early on I heard some indicators about the kind of, I don't know if it was referred to as guilt spending, but also the sort of staying home closer to your nucleus spending and perhaps less going away from your home base. And so about halfway through my last fiscal cycle, we went in and really cut things back. We cut our budget by about 30%. But strangely enough, our attendance is up. Our workshop attendance blew our numbers out of the water. So I do think that people are staying home. I think they're tending to do a little bit more of a low-end ticket item than traveling and going on large vacations. And so that's kind of where we looked at Sound of Music, for instance, to think of this idea that it would be a family outing. And if they're not going to go on a big summer vacation, maybe they're going to stay home and see a movie or go see a live show. Yeah, I think where we're feeling it the most in the economy is in our philanthropy and in our development and in the larger gifts, which often come from trust funds or folks that have their money in various places to keep it safe. In the last 24 months, they've had just suffered the consequences of the economy's ravaging their savings. So I hope there's an upswing on it on the back end, but I will say we're pleasantly surprised with attendance.
That's good. That's good. I mean, I'm sure you probably talk to other professionals. Are you hearing pretty much the same thing, or does your situation seem like it's a special kind of thing, or is it pretty common with everybody that you've talked to?
I do think that I think the answer is yes. some of my cohorts around the country are suffering a little bit in that they're feeling a little bit less in ticket revenues and sort of just and on the revenue side in general, as well as the philanthropy. So I think we're somewhat special in that as a nonprofit here in Birmingham in the arts and cultural sector, we've created a special niche for ourselves, and I think that we have a market that desires what we do here, and it seems to be solvent through the current economy. I think other markets that are a little bit more saturated with folks that are doing what we're doing are starting to feel that their audiences are maybe being forced to be a little bit more choosy about who they're going to go see.
All right, give us the dates of Rent again.
Rent is currently running. We've got a show tonight, and it runs through October 18th.
All right.
Very exciting. Don't miss it.
Okay, yeah, that ticket number again?
324-2424. And I know you guys need the area code, right? It's 205-324-2424.
All right. Awesome.
Always a pleasure, Keith, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank
you. Absolutely. Thanks, you guys. I still don't know why it's inexplicably dumb.
I'll take credit for that. I don't know. John's talking about me. He's referencing me in the title. I'll take the blame.
All right. Have fun. Bye.
We went off scripts. Your scripts. Yeah.
Right.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
So we'd like to thank Keith Cromwell of Red Mountain Theater Company for stopping by.
Absolutely.
Sharing news.
I'm not stepping off script here. I'm staying with it. So you go and I'll...
Okay,
I'll
great.
I'll be your Ed McMahon.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good.
That's kind of nice, actually. I use you there. All aspects of my life.
Yes!
Yes. Should I buy this set of golf clubs?
Yes.
All right, so...
So thanks, Keith.
Yeah. Thanks for indulging us. And next week, it's what we do best. No pre-planning.
But so we are going to improvise for next week then.
Yeah, you're going to have to workshop it.
I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah, go out in the woodshed.
All right, I'm going to go prep right now.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.